Welcome back to Time Out Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. The big red bus was a familiar sight to me growing up in Davis. It was an even bigger thrill riding on the top deck of that bus as a little kid. This double-decker vintage bus, owned by UC Davis, is part of their transit system, UniTrans, and runs in and around the campus of UC Davis. Our guest on today's episode of Time Out Radio is Jeff Flynn, who is the general manager of UniTrans. Jeff tells us about how this student-operated bus service logs over 1 million miles a year and carries over 22,000 passengers each day. Public transit is older than you might think. Public buses most likely started in Paris sometime around the late 1600s, but they didn't quite take off right away. It took a couple of centuries before they started being more widely used. In the town of Nantes, France, back in 1826, Stanislas Baudry, the owner of a public bath, set up a horse-drawn carriage route between the center of the city and his baths for patrons. His carriage service started outside the hat shop of Mr. Alms, who had the sign Alms Omnibus, which means Latin for all, on his shop. Because of this, Baudry calls his carriage the Omnibus, which is where the name bus comes from. When Baudry noticed that his passengers were interested in disembarking at other points on the route, he changed his focus and started an omnibus with wooden benches along the carriage that offered a way for the public to get around. A couple of years later, Baudry went to Paris and established a bus company. His son founded bus companies in two other cities in France. Omnibus services started in 1829 in London and New York City. Over the next 15 years, omnibus companies cropped up in Philadelphia, Boston, and Baltimore. City governments started giving private stablemen franchises to run their horse-drawn public coaches along routes in the city. Then, in 1832, streetcars or trams changed public transit. The first streetcar along the Bowery in New York offered a smoother and faster ride than horse-drawn carriages. In 1898, electric buses started running on Fifth Avenue in New York. Public transit changed cities forever. It was now easier to travel from the suburbs into cities in omnibuses. With that, cities and suburbs started expanding. In the 1920s, automobile manufacturing companies started buying up streetcar systems, looking to replace them with their buses. From its start as a way for people of means to get to a public bathhouse, public transit services these days offer an affordable way for people to get around. Even a social movement was sparked on a public bus. The bus where Rosa Parks was arrested in 1955 for not giving up her seat to a white man sparked the civil rights movement in the United States. Americans take 10 billion trips on public transportation each year, a more environmentally friendly and safer alternative to traveling by car. Taking public transportation is 10 times safer than traveling by car. Public transit is a lifeline for millions of people in the U.S. and connects them to jobs, social activities, and doctor's appointments, and eases traffic congestion. The average household in the U.S. can save $10,000 by taking public transportation and living with one less car. And now, some fun public transit facts. The city with the largest bus network in the world is Jakarta, Indonesia. It has 156 miles of bus lines operated by 3,900 buses. The longest currently operational bus route in the world today is between Lima, Peru and Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. It's 1,615 miles long and takes over 100 hours to travel. Stockholm, the capital of Sweden, was the first world capital to have a bus service that is completely powered by renewable energy. Since 1999, the state of Andhra Pradesh in India has held the Guinness World Record of having the largest fleet of buses in the world. It has 22,600 buses that transport 10 million people a day within Andhra Pradesh and its neighboring states, which is why our place of the week is the country of India. Up next is Mirage by One Republic and Assassin's Creed, featuring Mishal Tamer.
Hey, yeah, I look for drama. Yeah, I'm chasing karma. See some things that other people can't see. Yeah, I'm motivated. Yeah, I'm underrated. Watch the imitators look like me. This life's like a phantom. Some karma, seen some things that other people can't see. Yeah, I'm on a mission, I don't need permission. Living like I'll hit 103. This life's like a fantasy. Everyone wants to be on. Reach out for the things I need. But is it all just a mirage?
Is it just a mirage?
Welcome back to Tamart Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. Our guest on today's episode is Jeff Flynn, who is the general manager of Unitrans, the bus system that runs in and around the campus of UC Davis. Before Jeff came to UC Davis in 2017 for this job, he was the chief transit officer for the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency, where he managed bus, light rail, and historic streetcar operations. So, Jeff, first off, welcome to the Time Out Radio. You're a UC Davis alum and graduated in 2005 with degrees in geology and managerial economics. And you were also a student bus driver during your time at UC Davis and then eventually became a student manager. So what got you to apply for a job as a driver there?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll add one correction to what your introduction said. So a lot of people think that Unitrans is just a university service, but Unitrans is the public transit service for the entire city of Davis, so all Davis residents and the university. When I first started at Davis a long time ago now, in fall of 2000, I lived off campus and took the bus every day. And I saw that the drivers all looked like me. They all were young and I had never seen this before. I thought, wow, that's a really kind of cool, quirky job. So I applied my freshman year to be a bus driver at Unitrans, and I was fortunate enough to get that position, and the rest is history.
And I remember riding on the top deck of one of those vintage double-deck buses when I was little. And that was quite a thrill for me and a very memorable childhood experience. And we'll talk a bit more about the specific buses later in this episode. But tell us, what was your favorite memory as a Unitrans bus driver?
Yeah. So there's one day in winter where, for a fluke, it snowed. Like, not really snowed, but snowed enough in Davis where there was like a fine layer of snow on the ground that that stayed and stuck for a little bit. So all the buses were put on hold, and at the bus terminal We all had a snowball fight, and that's just a really kind of fun memory I have. An unusual thing in Davis to have a snowball fight.
Yeah, that's unusual for sure. I mean, my entire lifetime in Davis, I have yet to see snow still.
Yeah.
And Unitrans, takes its name from an abbreviation of the words university transport. And it operates 49 buses that run about 20 routes, and log over 1 million miles a year and carry over 22,000 passengers on a typical day. So what accounts for the longtime success of this bus service?
Yeah, there are a few factors. I mean, the longevity of Unitrans is really thanks to the partnership between the university and the city. So the city and the university are equal funding partners. The students themselves fund a large part of the service, and then the city funds a large part of it. So we have a really nice, robust transit system here in Davis because of that funding partnership. Now, why we have so many riders is, again, because the nice thing about Unitrans is we know where people live and we know where they're going. So that's a lot of times in transit agencies, you don't really know that, but we know that there are concentrations of people going from certain areas, and gee, they're all going to the largest employer and educator center in Yolo County. So it's a really kind of easy service to plan. We know where people are, we know where they're going, and we know when they want to go there. So it leads to the success of Unitrans.
Yeah, and Unitrans is operated by the ASUCD, which is short for Associated Students University of California, Davis. And except for some management and maintenance positions, it's mostly run by students who work part-time while attending UC Davis. So, what sorts of jobs are these students involved in with Unitrans?
Yeah, so Unitrans is just not student bus drivers. It's student everything. So most of our maintenance staff, so people who work on buses, are students. And we even have a Davis Senior High School student who is helping us out in our maintenance shop right now through a special arrangement with the school district. So people who work on the buses, people who clean the buses, people who pay our bills, the customer service on the phone, the people who sell the bus passes, the people who help us with contracting for new services and for like copy machines, stuff like that. The people who stand on the back of the buses and conduct them. So it's by far mostly students. We have about 20 career staff, and then we have over 250 students. So they do everything we do at Unitrans: marketing, bill paying, customer service, mechanic work, bus driving, the works.
And the bus system is well known in Davis for its use of several distinctive London double-decker buses. And a fun fact is that about 10 years ago, one of these original 1950s buses was shipped back to London, and it was bought by a transport museum in London that on their website describes it as a London bus with a Californian accent. So these vintage buses are very popular in Davis, especially with kids. Especially, when I was a kid as well, having those memories. So, what does it take to keep them running?
Yeah, so those vehicles are now almost 75 years old. So it's pretty hard to keep a 75-year-old bus operating. And what most people probably don't know is that a lot of that bus is actually made of wood. You don't think of a bus or a car being made of wood, but those buses are substantially made of wood. So every 5 years or so, they require basically a complete rebuild. We strip them down, we replace all the wood, and we rebuild them again. So it's a pretty onerous, involved process to keep them running. They, of course, have modern engines in them and modern drivetrains, not the original engines from 75 years ago. But it takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication from our maintenance staff to keep those running and safe for the public.
So, how did the pandemic and remote instruction change how Unitrans worked, and what did you have to do to adapt?
Yeah, so there are a lot of advantages of our model of have being student run, which is very rare in the United States. It's one of only a handful of systems that's run by students. But the pandemic really pointed out a key weakness. Because our workforce is students and they're part-time workers, when the pandemic started, a lot of them just quit and went back to their hometowns. So about half of our staff quit overnight. which required us to pretty quickly reduce service and to react pretty quickly to that change in workforce size. We've been rebuilding ever since. We're still struggling to do full staffing and full service. Service is still about 20% lower than it was before the pandemic, but we're slowly but surely rebuilding our workforce, rehiring, retraining people that are students to take those jobs and to make the system as good as it can be and try to get back to pre-pandemic levels.
Mm. And I was at UC Davis College admissions talk at school recently, and the college rep there said that the Unitrans jobs are rated by students as among the best on campus. So why is that?
Yeah, so Unitrans has some really kind of key things going for it. So it's on campus, so it's convenient for students. Our shifts are mostly in hour increments, and we let you pick your own shifts. So if you have a gap between classes of 1 hour, you can pick up a 1 hour shift and drive for an hour and then go back to class. So it's really, really flexible for students. And then also, it's one of the highest paid jobs on campus. Mm-hmm. Bus driver makes between $18.50 and $20 an hour. Our student supervisors and student managers make anywhere from $20 to $23 an hour. So it's a pretty well-paying job for being for a part-time student.
Yeah. And what does a college student need to do to become a driver for Unitrans? And do they need some sort of special license?
Yeah, so we train you when you're hired to get your Class B license, which is a bus driving license. So when you get hired, you go through about 160 hours of training. It takes about 5 to 6 months based on a part-time student schedule. So it takes a while, but we train you to be a really safe, efficient bus driver by the end of that 160 hours. And then you get your license and you're behind the wheel and you're on your way.
Mm-hmm. And the Unitrans fleet runs on compressed natural gas, and Unitrans started carrying passengers in its first 6 electric buses last year. So you're looking at an all electric buses going forward. So how long is the change to all electric going to take, and what will it take to do that?
Yeah, it's going to be a long effort. So, you know, replacing an entire fleet of nearly 50 buses just takes time and a lot of money. So the state of California is requiring all transit agencies and providers to be zero emission by 2040. But because our city and our university and our students really value the message of going green as fast as possible, we actually expect to be zero emission fleet-wide by about 2032. So it's still about 9 years away, but we're well on our way. Like you said, we have 6 currently in service. We just got 4 more last week. They'll be in service this coming fall, and we're getting another 4 next summer. So about a third of our fleet will be zero emission by next summer, which will make us one of the proportionally largest zero emission fleets in the state, and definitely have the most zero emission vehicles in our area.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely very exciting for Davis. And Unitrans celebrated its 55th birthday this year. What else is Unitrans looking forward to before it turns 60?
Yeah, we're looking forward to continuing this drive to go zero emission as quickly as possible with support from our city, our university, and our state and federal governments. And then we also are really, really looking forward to restoring full pre-pandemic service. We hope to be there by sometime next year. And that really is what we think our future is. So to continue to improve and expand service, to get as many people on those buses, and to continue moving to zero emission technology as quickly as possible for our future.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Jeff, for joining me on Time Out Radio today.
Thank you.
All right, that's Jeff Flynn, who is the general manager of Unitrans. Have you thought about us? To tell me when I'm close. And that was Galileo Galilei by Aidan Fourier. In today's travel segment, we visit the country of India, home to 1.4 billion people. Located in Asia, it's the seventh largest nation and the most populous country in the world. It has 22 official languages. Hindi is the most widely spoken language there, and it's the second largest country in the world that speaks English. India is the world's fifth largest economy. Its currency is the Indian rupee, and its capital is New Delhi. India has many big cities, two of the largest being Delhi and Mumbai. Two-thirds of the population lives in rural areas. The name India was derived from the Indus River that flows through India and along the border to Pakistan and into the Arabian Sea. The area that is now India had humans settled there since 7000 BCE and is one of the oldest civilizations in the world. The Indus Valley Civilization developed as the first urban culture in South Asia. In the 18th century, several European countries established settlements and trading centers along India's coast. Britain increased its control of India through the East India Company. Following the Indian Rebellion of 1857, the British government colonized and ruled India for the next 89 years. In 1947, India gained its independence from the British, and the country was divided into present-day India and Pakistan. India has an abundance of natural beauty, and the country's varied climate zones support more than 92,000 animal species, including elephants, pythons, river dolphins and rhinos, and 45,000 species of plants. It's the only country in the world with both lions and tigers. The national flower is the lotus, the national animal is the tiger, and the national bird is the peacock. India has a tropical climate with hot summers, a wet monsoon season, and dry winters. The state of Meghalaya is the wettest inhabited place on Earth, with an average rainfall of 470 inches a year. The driest place in India is Jaisalmer in the state of Rajasthan that lies in the heart of the Thar Desert. India is a large and diverse country. It has 2 million temples, 300,000 mosques, and hundreds of palaces. The Taj Mahal is one of the seven wonders of the world and is a tomb built in 1648 by Emperor Shah Jahan for his wife. To travel through this vast country, you can use its extensive rail network that extends throughout the country with 42,000 miles of routes. Its trains transport 23 million passengers a day. That's 8 billion passengers a year. Because of India's cultural and geographic diversity, food is different in each of its states and regions. Staple foods are rice, lentils, and a round flatbread called roti. Coastal areas have an abundance of fish and other seafood. Curried or sautéed dishes have vegetables like spinach, peas, or mustard greens. Popular meat-based dishes have chicken or lamb. Food tends to be spicy with chili, ginger, cumin, coriander, cloves, and cinnamon. To cool things down, you can eat some yogurt or popular fruits like mango and pineapple. Or try the many Indian desserts made with milk products and flavored with saffron, cardamom, almonds, and pistachios. When you need some exercise after eating all that food, try a game of cricket, one of the most popular sports in India. The British brought cricket to India in the 1700s. Now the game is played in every corner of India, on city streets, playgrounds, and stadiums. The Indian Premier League draws an average of 100 million live, TV, and digital viewers per game. So that wraps up our journey to our place of the week, the country of India. Alright, let's call a timeout for Time Out Radio. This was your host, Rohan Bakshi. You're listening to KDIRT 95.7 FM, where the grassroots grow. Have a great day, everyone.